Off the Ball Breakfast.
Leinster. The atmosphere in terms of rugby, in terms of football, I think is chalk and cheese.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
We're going to turn our attention now to a story that caught everybody's eye in football today, because Naomi Girma, remember the name, she's set to have a medical at Chelsea this week. She's agreed to join, she's agreed personal terms, I should say, to join from San Diego Wave. And it's going to be a fee of $1.1 million. So this is the first time that football transfer has happened in the women's game that will exceed $1 million. So it's more than double the record for a signing made by an English women's club as well that was paid by Chelsea for the Colombia striker Maya Ramirez last January. To chat about this, Rachel O'Sullivan of Girls on the Ball is with us on the line. Rachel, how are you keeping?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Very well. So this is obviously a big milestone for the game, but the most extraordinary thing about it is that this is a centre-back.
I know, yeah. $1.1 million is worth about, what, 10 English pounds? No, I think it's about 800,000 or 900,000. Pretty incredible signing. And to be honest, I'm not hugely surprised. I know she's a defender, but she is a defender that a lot of us have been talking about for the last couple of years. Arguably one of the best centre-backs in the women's game at the moment. And just to give you an idea of her personal honours, US Soccer Player of the Year 2023, US Young Soccer Player of the Year in 2020, NWSL Defender of the Year in 22-23. She was Rookie of the Year in 2022 as well, named in the best 11 for the NWSL in 22 and 23, and named in the best FIFA Best 11 in 2024, and she's only 24. So gives you an idea of just how good she is.
And when you go through the things that she's won, the accolades that she has, maybe one of the great accolades that she has is that, in quotes, forever will be Emma Hayes saying, "This is the best defender I have ever seen." Obviously, Emma Hayes is her manager for the national team. I don't suspect that was hyperbole, Rachel.
No, I don't think so. I mean, she played every minute of the Olympics in that run where they won gold this summer. So that will tell you how highly Emma Hayes thinks of her. And to see her going to Chelsea maybe isn't the biggest surprise. And maybe Emma had a bit of a word in her ear about the best club to go to.
Yeah, it's a good point. When it comes to her role in this team, and I guess maybe her marketability as a player as well, is that something that Chelsea and that WSL clubs are thinking about in terms of what you can actually do for the commercial aspect of this club, or is this a purely football decision?
For Chelsea right now, I think with Khadisha Buchanan doing her ACL this season, I feel like this is very much a football decision. Chelsea have shown what they can do in a short space of time. You know, you mentioned Ramirez there earlier on. She was the player they brought in the January transfer window last year, and to replace Sam Kerr and Mia Fischel both doing their ACL. So Chelsea have shown what they can do when they need someone to fill a gap. And she, I mean, you could look at that Chelsea team, 30 plus players technically on the roster at the moment. Some of them are injured, but you know, and you could say, really, do they need another world-class player? But actually, arguably, in terms of depth in that centre-back role, she is needed. I think the bonus being she is going to the best team in England. She is the best defender in the world. Like, it's a match made in heaven from that respect as well. And I think she will bring a lot of eyes and a lot of new fans.
Rachel, how does the budgeting work at a club like Chelsea in terms of transfer fees for the women's team when obviously the men's team have gone on this insane and unprecedented spending spree over the last couple of years and contracts the length of which the Premier League has never seen before? And, you know, on the men's side of it, they would happily spend £1 million on an unproven 15, 16-year-old. Is it a completely separate balance sheet at the end of the year? Is it one budget for the overall club? How do they decide how much investment goes into the transfer fund for the women's team?
I mean, that's a great question. I'd love to be able to lift the lid on the detail in that. I mean, Chelsea are kind of that, women's are kind of that separate entity now, and they are trying to bring investment in for the women's team as opposed to specifically across the club and then it being filtered down. So, which is quite new in the game. I think these levels of fees are something we haven't really seen before. I know it's been going up and up and up. But in terms of the WSL, we haven't maybe seen this level of breaking that record. So it does kind of feel like new territory. We know that from the Chelsea men's side, they seem to have a blank check at times when it comes to players, and they're very good at working around how you're allowed to do that in terms of contract length. But I don't think that kind of level of scrutiny goes into it in the women's side as such, because we haven't had this level of fees before. But yeah, I think if you were going to pick a team in the WSL that was going to break that transfer fee, it was going to be Chelsea. We saw it with, you know, with Sam Kerr, Pernille Harder, when they came in, they were big fees as well. And I think Pernille Harder was maybe 350,000, and how far we've come in such a short space of time. Whether those kind of, we're going to start looking into that more in the women's game as the fees grow, I don't know. But it's kind of hard to look at £1 million or £900,000 in relation to Chelsea and think of that as loads and loads of money for them. So I imagine they're not seeing that technically as a huge fee when they compare it to some of the men's players coming in.
You also look at what is going to happen in the next couple of years in the game. It's probably already happened, Rachel, where the big players in the women's game are going to become very aligned with who the big players are in the men's game. There's not going to be these sort of teams, these clubs that emerge independent of a men's team that can actually go and contend. It's going to be these commercial behemoths that are able to contend. Like, even looking at the top four in the WSL at the moment, it's Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City. It's going to be very hard to see a world where any of the traditional powerhouses in the men's game aren't also the powerhouses in the women's game.
We might say that for Europe, but you look across to where Naomi Girma is coming from, San Diego Wave, and they're a team that are maybe three to four seasons old. And over in the US, you're seeing how teams are built independently of men's clubs. And I think we're kind of a bit of at a crossroads in the women's game of still kind of being able to shape how it might look. But I think because it's growing so fast and you're seeing fees like this, it gets harder and harder for those independent clubs to keep up. And I think that's where we're going to find the difficulty of having like a Lewis club or a London City Lionesses, where you're getting these investments in, but how quickly can they turn that around to then compete with the teams at the top is going to be really interesting to see. But every so often, we just remind ourselves that the NWSL is doing that and it can be done. But then again, you've got to say sport in America is a very different beast.
It certainly is. Obviously, the NWSL has the benefit of the draft, and the best players coming through a gilded collegiate system is going to prop up that league. Is there a sense, again, we're looking at this from a very European-centric standpoint and from probably an England-centric standpoint, is there a sense that the United States and their league is going to be able to keep pace with what might happen in the European leagues? Because is there a world where players potentially start coming out of college, going straight to Europe, if their first salary might be a hell of a lot higher than their salary upon being drafted?
Well, actually, the record was initially broken by Bay FC. So in terms of transfer fees. So there is money absolutely being pumped into the NWSL at the moment. They've also got the second league there as well to give players more options across the country. So, you know, the league over there has been a little bit up and down over the years, but it has only been growing over the past few years. And in terms of investment, like I said, we've seen some really interesting different ways of how clubs are being put together. Angel City FC have all sorts of big names attributed to them in terms of the money going in there. So I don't see it slowing down. Of course, Europe is attractive to players over there, but we have the same conversations over here going, are we going to lose players to the NWSL when they're being able to offer those kind of salaries? So at the moment, I think I don't kind of see that happening just yet. I think we can get another couple of seasons out of it where we kind of have to see where it goes.
Look, I'm not a businessman, but I always just find it strange that one of the big owners of the men's teams haven't looked at the opportunity that is there for so much of a smaller investment to go and really dominate the women's game. And it's all the more remarkable when you hear Jim Ratcliffe and how he's spoken about Manchester United of, well, if we sort the men's side of it out, well, maybe then, you know, everything else will fall. Well, actually, if you went and put in even 10 million into the women's team, you could dominate that. You could be the best in the world. In fact, that could be your elite. That could be the bit where you go, well, we've done it here. We've got the high performance element in place on this side, and let's just try and learn lessons there, and then the success on the men's side may follow. But let's be the best at something.
Yeah, I find that whole kind of conversation around that really interesting, because it's a bit more of a cultural thing, I think, rather than like, you know, someone putting a logical business head on. If you took the word women's football out of this and put another kind of, you know, type of business in front of it, and you could see the trajectory of how it was growing so quickly, people would be desperate to invest. I mean, you look at women's sport around the world, the basketball over in America, the ice hockey over in Canada, it's growing exponentially. But yeah, there always seems to be this reluctance because it's women's sport. And actually, you're kind of just doing yourself out of a really good investment opportunity. So I think, you know, some people say the train is leaving the station, get on it. The train's already left. You should be on this train, because it is growing very, very quickly. And the thing is, the two things can coexist. You know, if your men's team are doing well and your women's team are doing well, isn't that a good thing? Doesn't that just bring more eyes into your club, more investment into your club, better players into your club on both sides? It's a win-win.
It seems that anything Jim Ratcliffe tries to do, the opposite thing happens. Strip back money on the women's team and they're having a great season.
Yeah. Honest to God, I don't know. Every time he opens his mouth, he's desperate to say something negative about the women's team. You could ask him about the weather and somehow the women's team would come up and he'd say something negative. They definitely need to kind of get around him and give him a few more positive lines. I appreciate it's not his priority, but he doesn't have to bring it up and tell you every time.
There's a couple of other bits and pieces we wanted to touch on, Rachel. I mean, last week was pretty dramatic. I know you were in Dublin for the Carla Ward announcement. Now that the dust has settled maybe somewhat on the Colin Healy situation, and we're still going to see what happens next with that. What's your considered take on where the Republic of Ireland can hope to go to over these next few windows? It's unanimous positivity from people that we've spoken to who know Carla Ward.
Yeah, I've heard the term match made in heaven used a couple of times, and you know, I appreciate a ball hasn't been kicked yet, but I feel like the type of team that Ireland are, and what I've heard coming out of players, particularly players that have recently come into the team, and you know, not necessarily youngsters, I'm talking about, you know, maybe Aoife Mannion's, players like that have been in and around the game a long time, have always spoken about the environment in Ireland and how it's like nothing they've ever experienced before. And it's something Carla Ward puts a huge amount of emphasis on when she's coaching teams, is the environment and players feeling like a real family and close-knit, which of course, you know, obviously the football is important, but I think when a team is cohesive and together, it's really, really important. So she values that, the players value that. I think she'll come in, she'll want to understand that environment, really embed herself in it. And then on top of that, I think she's just really excited. She's been involved with some of these players before, knows some of them. And I think she's really, really excited to get going. She's a young, exciting manager. And I feel like Ireland are in a position now where I think I spoke to you previously about this after the Wales defeat, about that kind of crossroads and where we go next. And is that our ceiling, or have we got more to give? And I think Carla is the kind of manager who very much wants to get the most out of her players and go as far as possible.
Yeah, the signs are very, very positive from that standpoint. Listen, Rachel, great stuff this evening. Thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers, thanks for having me on.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.